Businesses that operate on a global level are often challenged by the complexity and differences of regulations from one region to another. What is perfectly acceptable practice in one country may be ineffective in others due to the differences in the law. The same is true when determining patent ownership and entitlement. Patents can and have been lost because parties don't fully understand the law and unintentionally lose rights by failing to take the necessary actions. We're joined by Martin Hayden, a partner in Finnegan's London office, to discuss this important topic. Martin, what are the benefits and drawbacks of granting patent ownership to companies as opposed to inventors?
From a company point of view, there's a great advantage, which is that the company automatically gets access to its rights. And it's not dependent on tracking down inventors. Maybe sometime after the fact, they may have left, they may have gone to other companies, may be difficult to trace. And so the work required for the company to perfect its title to ownership is relatively low. This is the common way that they want to work. It's theirs from the beginning, and they don't actually have to do anything to make it so. That's one of the great benefits, is that it automatically sits with the company, and the company can then go on and do what it wants with that property, much in the same way as any other piece of property that the company may own. And it does not require them to go back to the originator at some later date and do something to perfect that title and to allow them to move forward. So that's a very clear benefit to a company. Now, as far as a drawback is concerned, the difficulty is, of course, that this doesn't always apply uniformly everywhere. And even in countries such as the UK, which does have a company as first owner provision in the law, it doesn't apply to every inventor and every invention. So it will vary from country to country depending on the situation, but often an employee who is not normally in a position to invent would not be in a position where his invention would belong to the employer. And the drawback of having this belief that the company owns the rights is that they may not. And so they proceed in a way as if they aren't a normal owner of a patent and patent right, and in fact find out at some later date that no, that bit of the law didn't actually apply to them. But because they thought they owned it and didn't have to engage with the inventor, they've not done anything to perfect that title.
Martin, what are common patent ownership missteps that U.S. companies make when they expand their organization to the EU?
Probably one of the most common missteps is that the laws are not the same everywhere. And so it can be very dangerous to try a one-size-fits-all approach to ownership of inventions when moving into a number of different countries, especially a number of different European countries, because the terms under which companies can get access to ownership of employee inventions, or not, as the case may be, are often similar but very subtly in their practice. Again, I'll refer back to UK law. There are some clear definitions as to what character the employment relationship should have for it to be automatic. For example, it must be in the normal duties of the employee to invent, or a likely outcome of his normal duties, or a special task given to an employee. But in other countries, this may be different. So you need to check on a country-by-country basis as to what the rule is that gets automatic ownership. Because it may be, as I've said, if an invention arises from someone who's not normally employed to invent and not given a task to do so, it may not automatically move that way. So the first misstep is to assume that one size approach will fit all, or even that nothing needs to be done other than to say it's an employment contract. Another common mistake is to overreach and to try and deal with this by saying, well, everything is therefore belongs to the company that the employee does, because that clearly is not correct under the law of many countries. Merely because you are an employee does not automatically mean that everything that you do belongs to your employer. If it's within the scope of your employment, maybe, but the everything rule, any IP created during the term of the employment may not be effective.
How does the UK's patent ownership policy compare to other EU member states?
The fundamental difference between the UK and probably the other EU member states comes from the roots of our law. The UK being essentially a common law country, albeit with a large amount of statutory law laid over the top of this, whereas most of the EU member states run what is known as the civil code approach to law. This means that in the UK, you very much look at context. I mean, it's driven by precedent and this whole case law that's developed over the relationship between employees and employers over the years and has developed itself into these certain conditions. But on top of it are layered some terms of the Patents Act that say which is which. But like I said, one of the things that it looks at is invention part of the duties of the employee. Now, that may not have to be explicitly stated in a contract. We may be able to work that out from the context. In other European countries, there are often far more explicit requirements necessary to activate parts of the law. And so in the UK, you often end up, I think, in a similar situation as you would when you're doing the analysis in the US, that you look generally at the notion of employment and what roles and responsibilities lie with the employee. Whereas in the EU, you will have to look very closely at their employment law, which may be quite explicit in saying things like, if it is not in the job description, it does not count. And these are the sorts of things that you have to look at, is that the UK, in its common law approach, goes much more into the totality of the relationship with certain legislative controls placed over it. In other EU countries, it is often more explicit in terms of what the law says specifically is and is not, and what you have to do specifically to say is and is not within the remit of the employee and his responsibility towards the employer. I think one of the other areas that you see a different issue, it's not directly related to patent ownership, but in some way a neighbouring area, is the question of, if you like, compensation or reward. In the UK, we have a term in the law that allows an employee inventor to be compensated where the patent is of exceptional value to the employer. We found that there have been no successful cases ever brought under this law. Every time it's been brought, the holding has been that there has not been sufficient evidence to show that the patent has been of sufficient value, not the invention or any other aspect. In some countries, it is compulsory to have an employee reward or employee compensation scheme for employee inventors. I know France has a law to that respect. Germany has a law and a quite detailed way of working out how much that must be. And so in those ways, again, it ties back into that common mistake of trying one size fits all.
And finally, Martin, do you see the UK ever reconsidering its laws on patent ownership and giving more rights to the inventor?
I think generally we recognize the issue with compensation. It's been said many times in these cases that while the inventions themselves are often very valuable to companies, the way the law is written really does not give the courts much room to maneuver when it comes to evaluating the value of the patent as opposed to the value of the totality of the invention and its complete benefit. While this is widely recognized by many people, I can't think of a situation where I've seen someone say, no, the system we have is good. I don't think it is high enough on the agenda to be fixed. And the most likely thing to happen, in my view, is that any changes would be driven at a Europe-wide level because there is too much disparity at the moment between the individual countries that for one country to continue to develop in a substantially different way. So it would surprise me if there was any issue of the UK moving to a situation where the inventor has primacy.
Our guest has been Martin Hyden, a UK and European patent attorney and partner at Finnegan, one of the largest IP law firms in the world. For more commentary on intellectual property news and issues, to listen to other podcasts, or to receive additional information on the firm, please visit www.finnegan.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Finnegan.